Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. We're in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and for those of you who have been listening, thank you for bearing with us as we've gone through and repeated some vital things using the concordant literal New Testament. And today we'll be finishing up here through verse 14 and then continue on in our studies. This is a great letter, and I trust that you all will be studying this. And it might be a good idea to memorize verses 3 to 14 of Ephesians 1. Now, last time we talked about the lot, or the allotment. And there's a great audio that I'm going to try to make available to you by A.E. Nock. It's a messages on the allotment. And I'll see what I can do. If anyone's interested in getting that study on CD, let me know. And I will try to get it, and so we can make it available. It's one of the best messages I've heard on this subject. Well, it goes on in Ephesians 1, verse 10, in whom, or verse 11, in him in whom our lot was cast also. Christ is the head man, as we pointed out last time, who got the allotment, and in him in whom our lot was cast also, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the laud of his glory who are pre-expectant in Christ. Now, since God is going to have an administration of the complement of the eras to head up all in the Christ, it goes to say that both in heavens and on earth, it goes to ask, the next question asked is, what is going to be our role in all this? Well, we saw that in him in whom our lot was cast also. We have an allotment in him. So he's given a lot, Christ is, and we have our allotment in him, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. What is he operating? Well, we just saw that he's gonna head up all in the Christ. Every act of history, every move of nations, all the events in history serve God's end. Every act, good and evil, are not something that have taken God by surprise. God is not just waiting to see what men does, and he's not monitoring the election results. He's not monitoring the polls. None of that stuff affects God's purpose whatsoever. He is, a matter of fact, operating all. Now, you say, how can that be? You know, it says he sets up kings and takes them away. You know what that means? That means that Genghis Khan, Nero, Adolf Hitler, and Joseph Stalin were not a mistake. As hard as that sounds, let me ask you a question. What would you rather have, a God who's reactionary and is not in charge, or a God who's up there getting mad all the time because he's not getting his way? Well, that's the God of Christendom. The God of Christendom is, God is up there, you know, and if a certain man is elected president, oh, there's a loss for God. Friends, God is not monitoring the polls. All of creation, all the actions in creation are part of his purpose. Whether we like it or not, God is in control. God is a micro-organizer. It's interesting, God numbers the hairs of your head. And God knows the age of a cow that Gideon needs to tear down the idols of Baal. And listen, there's not one detail in this universe that God is not in control of and orchestrating for his ends. Not one. There is not one micro action or thought that God is not in charge of. Think about this. And you and I aren't God. God is God. Never take his deity away from him. So he's operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. That should give us encouragement. That should give us security. That should make us look up and say, what a great God we have. The one who chose us before the disruption of the world is not going to be deterred of his purposes. Sin or wars or rumors of wars are not going to change his purposes. And you and I are going to make it into our allotment no matter what man does, or the devil or his angels. He's operating all according to the purpose, it says he's designated us beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the laud of his glory who are pre-expectant in the Christ. And again, this term in the Concordant Version, pre-expectant, that means you and I have an expectancy that is prior in dignity than any other company of God's redeemed, as we pointed out before. You and I are chosen. We have a unique time frame. We're chosen in Christ before the disruption of the world. We have unique blessings. They're spiritual. We have a unique place where they're going to be joyed among the celestials. And here it says in verse 12, we are pre-expectant. That means because of our blessings and everything that's so unique, you and I have a priority. We have a priority above all of other God's people because we have the highest place. This is what it means to be pre-expectant. I'm going to read you from the Concordant Commentary, verse 12. The perfect or complete form of the verb marks a state rather than an action, referring to the word who are pre-expectant in the Christ. The circumcision looked for signs and did not expect Messiah until after the great affliction. Those under Paul's ministry were expecting him at any time. Hence, they were in a state of prior expectancy. To such as these, this letter was written. To the Thessalonians, Paul had first revealed this blessed expectation. Isn't that wonderful? You and I have a prior expectation. That not only in time, but in dignity. You and I are highly favored in the Beloved One. We're pre-expectant in the Christ. We're not looking for signs or wonders. We're looking for Christ. And now in verse 13 to 14, we see the Spirit's work, in whom you also, referring to us Gentiles, on hearing the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation, in whom on believing also you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now I want you to notice what he says here. We Gentiles, when we heard the word of truth, by the way, truth is important. Doctrine is important. It doesn't say when you had impressions or had a dream or when you thought right or when you, you know, or it says when you believe the pastor or something like that. It says in whom on hearing the word of truth. Doctrine is important. On hearing the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation. And I believe Paul is referring here to the special hope connected with the body of Christ. Remember, the Corinthians couldn't accept this teaching because they were so busy. They were so busy worshiping men and pastors and leaders that they could not accept this evangel because they weren't ready for it. They believed in Christ crucified, but they had no clue regarding the teachings of Christ and Him glorified. He says, in whom you also, on hearing the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation, in whom, on believing also, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And notice, it's a Holy Spirit of promise. Abraham had a physical seal because he had physical blessings. He had the circumcision. This is a spiritual seal because the blessings are spiritual. So we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word sealing has reference to ownership. In Ephesians 4:30, he says it again in the same letter. In Ephesians 4:30, and do not be causing sorrow to the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed for the day of deliverance. See, it's a seal for the day of deliverance. What's the day of deliverance? Well, we're going to see it here and continue. Verse 14, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment to the deliverance of that which has been procured. Now notice this language, a little technical here. You and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest, the seal, is an earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment. When you believe, God sealed you with His Holy Spirit of promise, and this sealing with the Holy Spirit of promise is an earnest or a down payment of something to come. What's it a down payment on? It's almost as if God is saying, I guarantee to you today that you are going to enjoy your allotment among the celestials. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to seal you with the Holy Spirit of promise. He did it for us through His own divine power, to the deliverance of that which has been procured. Now, this deliverance of that which has been procured is in reference to the deliverance of our body and also to the entrance into our allotment. Friends, you and I one day are going to enter into our allotment. There's a twofold ministry that Christ has. First, He provided deliverance through His blood so we can be justified. That looks back to the past. Secondly, we're waiting for the deliverance of our body for our resurrection, and that looks forward to the future. And one is the seal of the other. If you are a believer today, you have a special salvation. For those of you who have listened to us, we know that God is the Savior of all mankind, especially of those who believe. And those who believe today in Paul's evangel are sealed for this special salvation. And you and I have the most special salvation of all, because you and I have an allotment among the celestials, and God has guaranteed you that you're going to get there one day. We're actually going to enjoy our allotment. Think of it. I want you to ponder, close your eyes for 1 minute and think about this. One day, you and I are going to be transported out of this planet. We're going to be snatched out of here and brought into our allotment among the celestials and rule and reign with Christ Jesus among the celestials. And we're going to have a job to do in that place. But think about that. Think about the time when we're going to be there. We're going to have bodies like the risen and glorified Savior. And we're going to have no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness. And we're going to look back at the time of our sojourn here on earth and say, it was worth it. Friends, are you in a prior, are you expecting this? Are you in a state of prior expectancy? Are you standing in line knowing that you're first? It's like going into a, I hate to use this rude illustration. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go with my mother to the butcher shop. And they had these little tabs you pulled down that had numbers to take your order. And it was always cool when you got number one, if you were there first. You stand in line, you place your order, and you know everyone else is behind you because you're first. You have a prior expectancy. And you and I today, as members of a body of Christ, have pulled the number one tab, and we're first. Not because we're the best, but because we're blessed. And there are others behind us. King David and Job and Noah and Daniel are standing behind us. Amazing. Because you and I are in a state of prior expectancy, and we're going to get into our allotment first. And it's coming, dear ones. Are you waiting? And what event is going to bring us to our allotment? The Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians 4, let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself will, here we go. For the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be together with the Lord, so that console one another with these words. We have a state of prior expectancy, and the Spirit has sealed us. He's guaranteed that we're going to enter into our allotment. God one day is going to deliver, is going to have a deliverance of that which has been procured. We're actually going to get what he's procured for us on Calvary's cross. And then it closes here with, for the laud of his glory. Give God the applause for this. Verse 3 to 6, the Father's purpose, for the applause of his glory. Amen. Verse 7 to 12, the delivering work of Christ, for the applause of his glory. Verse 13 and 14, God sealing us with his Holy Spirit of promise, guaranteeing our allotment. The applause of his glory. What a great God we serve. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for bearing with me as I went back over these verses using the Concordant Literal New Testament. Got to get a copy of it. Give us a call or go to our website, crossandthrone.com, to get a copy. Our web address again, crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. And what else we got? Yes, our phone number again. Oh, P.O. Box. We have a P.O. Box. Our P.O. Box is P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.